Alright, so we are on the top, or the bottom, whatever. Bottom into the top of Tani Beis and Beis and Tani Aleph, I'm an Aleph. So the Mishnah said, Hayu Sabasi saw Nifsala Amina Kuhuna, right? So the Mishnah had said all the different like, things that she loses, right? If she goes ahead and she marries, she was married to one man, and there's an Eid Echad that says that her husband died, she goes ahead, she marries a different guy, and then it turns out that first guy comes back, right? So there's all these different things that she loses on account of taking the risk and rolling the dice and losing. So lots of things she loses, including the fact that if she was a Bas Yisrael, that now she becomes Nifsala from the Kahuna because she was together now with a man who was not her husband. So the Gemara says as follows, Pshita, that's obvious. And of course she loses, she can't eat Truma, etc. Fine. The Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. No, the Gemara says, no, Bas Levi mina Maiser eats Tzrichalai. No, the reason that the actual case of Bas Yisrael Nifsala mina Kahuna, that is obvious. But it's because the next thing that Mishnah teaches, which is that a Bas Levi is now, if she was a Bas Levi, then she becomes Psula from eating Meiser. So Gemara says, Bas Levi mina Meiser mi Mifsala biznos. What do you mean? Is there ever a scenario where a Bas Levi now can't eat Meiser because she was Mizana? V'hatanya Leviya shenishbeis o shenivila b'ilas nos nos in la Meiser v'ochelas. Right? If a Leviya was, either she was captured, right, and therefore, and she was, that was, she was nosed by onus, wasn't her fault, or she was involved in an inappropriate relationship. Nevertheless, nosed in la meiser ve'ochelas, she can eat meiser. So what's going on here? So I'm Rav Sheshi, has no knasa. She says, yeah, you're right. The halacha would be typically she would never lose her ability to eat meiser. This is a knas, right? Like many other things that are happening to her now, these are all extra rabbinic, rabbinic. Penalties on her that we are putting in that they put in place again to make it much more less appealing for her to go ahead and marry a Piedecha. Okay, so Bas Kohen mina Truma, and a Bas Kohen would be forbidden from eating Truma. So Gemara says Afila b'Truma derabanan, right? And that's true even from Truma derabanan again, which makes sense because Truma derabanan is also already a Gzera of Chazal. So we put her again. Another knas that she can't even eat Truma Derabanan. Okay, we are in the sixth line on Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph 91a. Okay, next. So then the Gemara says, "Ve'ein Yorshin Shelzeh, Ve'Yorshin Shelzeh, Yorshin Ksubasa." Right, the inheritors of her first husband or the inheritors of her second husband, neither of them are able to acquire her ksuba. Like Gemara says, ksuba, maya vidta. What are you talking about? Who said a ksuba? We already just said that there is no ksuba. One of the things that she loses, right, is that she loses the ksuba. So what we mean that no one's yorish her ksuba. Of course no one's yorish her ksuba. The ksuba doesn't exist. There isn't a ksuba. So the answer is the Gemara, no. What are we talking about? Amar Rav Papa, ksubas benin dichrin. This is referring to something that's called the ksubas benin dichrin. Rashi explains it over here. Look at Rashi before. Rashi says, ksuba maya vidta hatran beresha ain laksuba. And what's going on here? So the answer is no. The ksubas benin dechren. We're on the fourth line, the fourth skinny line in Rashi. What's ksubas benin dechren? It's not ksubas. The Gemara ksubas says explains as follows: ksubas benin dechren, the ahavin lachimi nai inon yarsin kesek ksubaseich yesrach ukahon the imachu. And this is the language that's used in that document, right? That saying that certain individuals, and really what we're talking about are the children of the woman who gets married. They should get money more than anybody else. What are we talking about? V'mesa b'chayev, if she dies in the life of her husband. Right? So talking about a woman who, any time a woman would get married, she would bring a dowry into the marriage, right? So she would bring a certain amount of money from her father that she gave her to bring into the marriage. And what was the concern? The concern was that she's going to bring this money into the marriage, she's going to die, and then the husband's going to get remarried to some other woman and have children with her, with that another new woman. And what's going to end up happening is the yorshim of the new wife, right, are going to end up collecting that original dowry money. We'll go to them instead, right? Or at least it'll be split up equally between her children and the new wife's children. Because when she marries the husband, ends up you know, all the money goes to him, and then it gets equally dispersed. So the Ksuvus Benin Dichrin was a document they would write to make sure that the money that was had been given originally to as her dowry from her father stays within her children only. It doesn't get split up with others, right? So if that's what Rashi says, Mesa Bachayev, if she dies in the life of her husband, Vinasa Shnia, and she marries another woman, Vyaldalo, and she has children, Umeshu, right? And then the husband dies. Bnei Shnia Afilo Heinekevas Notling Subas Iman, right? Kechov Gomer, right? So the women, the children of the second mother, they get her, right? The money that comes from her. Right, Sharei Nis Amana Me'avien Ubnei Rishona Im Yesh Zecharim Notling Subas Iman. Right, but the children of the first wife, if they're male, they get as Yerusha the Ksuba of their mother. Va'af Agav the Mesa Bachayev, even though she died in the lifetime of her husband. Right, so usually that wouldn't be the case. Right, usually once if this woman dies in the lifetime of her husband, the husband collects any of the money that she brought into the marriage, and then when he dies, then it just goes into the pot of all his money, and all of his children split it equally. But the point of this Ksuvus Benin Dichrin is to make sure that the money stays, goes directly from her children, from her to her children only. So Afagav the Meis Bechayev Dirabanan Tikun Ksuvus Ksuvus Benin Dichrin Kadeshi Yikvots Adam VeYitin Lebito Kivino. Right. The point was to allow we want fathers to be willing to give their money to their daughters, so that when their daughters get married, the money stays with his own grandchildren, right? Because if the money just goes to go away and he'll never, and his grandchildren will never see it, he'd be less likely to want to give it up. So the point is, in this case, right? In this case, that's not going to happen, right? V'hacha lo shakli yorshin dila ksubas b'din dirchan. In this case, in this scenario, where she was married to one guy, and she thinks that he died, and she marries somebody else, and then he comes back, so then the ksubas b'din dirchan will not be put into place. Bnei Haksheira Notling Subas Iman Vashar Chokin Vishava. Right, so rather, just the children of the Ksheira get the Ksuba of their mother, and the rest of it goes equally. Right, so the her money is not secured that way anymore. Why? Again, the same thing as a Knas. Right, so let's go. So now go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara said Ksuba Maya Vidita. So go into the Gemara. Maori the same validity the of the Isura Kansura Rabbanan. I would think, oh, she made the mistake, so the Rabbanan make a kanas on her. Lizara lo Kansura Rabbanan. But for the children, leave the children alone. Kamashala, no, the kids are gonna get penalized here also. Okay. Next, Achiv Shazeh, Chotzen v'lo miyamin. Right. So we said once you know she again had a relationship with one man. And then she thought he died, so she marries the second man. And then it turns out that the whole thing was wrong, and the first man was still alive. And then what would happen if either one of them, or before they have a chance to give their gittin, what happens if, or before they have a chance to, you know, everyone to switch back to where we're supposed to be? So what happens if they die? Right. So if they die and she had no children with them, so each of them, their brother does chalitza with her and doesn't do yibum with her, because they're both men were. Sort of, one was really married to her, one was not really married to her, right? But they both had to do chalitza, don't do yibam. So it says Gemara, Achiv shall rishon chalitz midaraisa. Right, the first brother, does a chalitza midaraisa because it's really their first husband is really her husband. Velo miyabim midarabanan, but he's not allowed to do yibam midarabanan. Meaning he should be allowed to do yibam, but we don't allow it. Achiv shall sheni chalitz midarabanan. Right, but the brother of the second husband, who's really not her husband because it was a mistake. Now, he does chalitza midirabanan. They require chalitza midirabanan. V'lo miyabim lo midirais v'lo midirabanan. He can't do yibum. For sure, he can't do because it's actually not chalitza, meaning he could marry her, right? Stam, but he can't do yibum with her because it wouldn't really be yibum because the second brother wasn't really married. But we do a yibum anyway. Do a chalitza anyways midirabanan just to make sure that no one should think the wrong things. But the first husband, the first husband's brother, we don't allow the yibum, even though it would technically be permissible, and we required him to do a chalitza, not chalitza if you require me there, right? So, okay. Rav Yossi Omer Ksubasa al nichsei baila. Okay, so what happened next, and we'll see if we have time to finish this for now, but what the Mishnah then tells us is after we had, and we're pretty just probably introduce this more, but when the after the Mishnah gave the examples, right, all the different things that she loses, we have three opinions that all argue on different premises that were given by the Mishnah, right? So the Mishnah had talked about all the different things that she loses. If you look in look in, you know, page 2 on this chart here. So, a couple of them over here. Look at page 2 on the chart. So you're going to see three on the bottom here, 1, 2, 3, right? Rav Yossi, Rav Elazar, and Rav Shimon. Right? These are all opinions that were, right? The top things on the chart are the different things that she loses, right? Ein laksuba, lo tanai ksuba, lo zevez emetamila, lo zevez zaka mitziyasa, haisa baisar misalam bakuna, all the different things that she loses, right? Because of the fact that she, you know, went ahead and married the second guy. All you need is this one, page 2. Just for right now, that's all you need. This chart 2 on page 2. So those are all the things that the Mishnah says that she loses. But if you can, when we continue in the Mishnah, the Mishnah then said, well, Rabbi Yossi disagreed on this, and Rabbi Lazar on this, and Rabbi Shimon on this, and the Gemara is going to try to understand which ones everyone who agrees with whom and who disagrees with whom. So just look in the chart. So the chart on the bottom says Rabbi Yossi has said Ksuba Sal Nechsei Baila Harisha. Rabbi Yossi says actually the first husband will pay the Ksuba, right? And Rabbi Lazar had said Harishan Zaka B'Mitziyasa Ma'isi Adav Afarasin Dereya. Actually, the first husband will get her you know, things that she finds, or her money that she makes, or he can be made for her neder. And Rabbi Shimon says that actually you told me that no one can do a chalitza. Not true. A biya or a chalitza may achiv shal rishon. If the first husband's brother would do a biya or a chalitza, poteras sarasa. And if they would actually have tashmish and have a child, it wouldn't be a mamzer, right? These are all three. Each one of these cases, or each one of these opinions, are opinions that contradict earlier opinions. But what's unclear is how does Rabbi Yossi feel about Rabbi Elazar, and how does Rabbi Elazar feel about Rabbi Shimon, etc., etc. And that's what the Gemara is now going to do. They're going to try to describe the relationship between these three opinions to each other. So just take a look in the Gemara for a second. We'll see. We'll start it at least. So the Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Huna Basrai modu lekamai, kamai lo modu lebasrai. Right? The later opinions will agree to the earlier opinions, but the earlier opinions will not agree to the later opinions. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains: Rabbi Shimon modi le Rabbi Elazar. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the biyara chalitza of the first husband's brother is actually valid, right? Maybe he shouldn't do it l'chachila, but if he does it, it's valid, right? So he's going to agree. Maybe Shimon is going to actually agree also that Rabbi Elazar is correct. I mean, he didn't say Rabbi Elazar said. Rabbi Shimon, who says that the chalitza or the yibam of the second of the first husband's brother is valid, he'll also agree with Rabbi Elazar that the first husband, it should be zocha to get her something, you know, an object that she finds, or her salary, or her faras nedarim. He'd agree to that. Why is that? Because he'd say as follows: Rabbi Shimon modeled the Rabbi Elazar de mabia de ikar isura lo kanis. Right? Because when it comes to tashmish, right, which the ikar iser, right, is the ikar iser is in terms of, you know, whether tashmish is permitted, that they didn't, they say, he, according to Rabbi Shimon, that he says that that's fine. That could happen, that there wasn't some type of penalty there. So if a kosher came mitziyasa, ma'aseh the mamonahu. So if he's allowing the tashmish, then the issue, then collecting the money, that's much less significant. So he would allow that. Rabbi Elazar lo modulei Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Elazar, who's the one who's being lenient when it comes to the money, he's not going to agree to Rabbi Shimon, who's being lenient when it comes to tashmish, right? Because he'll say mitziyasa, ma'aseh but the mamonahu lo kanas. Yeah, that's just her money. So that already the chazal will be mekalan. Afabia the yisurahu kanis. No, but when it comes to tashmish, that's the real iser. That's much more significant. That was the thing she did wrong in a certain sense. So then they're going to be kanis on that. But tarvayu modu lil Rabbi Yossi, and both of them are going to agree that Rabbi Yossi is ready. Rabbi Yossi said that the ksuba, you know, comes to the first husband. Why dahani the yasfa to say lo kanis? The kosher king ksuba de la mishkal mefekai, because they'll say these other things, these are things that you get when you're married still, right? Her ma'aseh adeya to have tashmish if you're with to do yibam and chalitza, those are things that are done when you're married, right? And those things are allowing. So Yossi, the ksuba, that's what you do when you're getting divorced already. That's something that's happening when you're leaving the marriage. So if they agree that chazal are going to allow things functioning, happening, either they're really still married, right? That the first husband can acquire her her, you know, something that she finds, or that if he dies, the brother can do Yibum or Chalitza, so for sure they're going to agree that she gets the ksuba from the first husband, because that's something that already happens as they're exiting the marriage. So that's one side. That's Rav Huna. We'll stop here, but that's Rav Huna's opinion about how they relate to each other. As we continue, we're going to see other approaches to how these opinions relate to each other. Okay, shkoyach.